You're listening to SBS News.
Chinese cooking needs gas for the flames, flavour and high heat. But surging gas prices are burning into the pockets of restaurant profits around the country. Gavin Chan is a restaurant owner in Canberra and says COVID-19 has put a strain on his business. He says that coupled with rising electricity prices, he has no choice but to increase menu items by 5%.
Ever since the pandemic, everything's sort of gone up. I can't even give you a percentage, but it's just everything's going up every week. It's one of those things that I think most of our customers will support and we will have to do to survive.
Gas prices are surging as the east coast of Australia shivers through a cold snap. While 30% of coal power stations are offline due to maintenance, the new federal government has been speaking with the big gas companies to try to release supplies. Australia is one of the world's largest natural gas suppliers, but most is sold overseas. Samantha Hepburn is a professor at Deakin University Law School. She says prices are at record highs due to sanctions on Russian coal and gas exports.
Now, it's interesting to reflect why does that affect Australia? Because Australia is a net exporter of coal and gas. And of course, we've got a lot of resources. The problem, particularly on the East Coast, is we don't have regulatory protection that preserves a component of those resources for the domestic market. And so a lot of it, in fact, 85% of it, has been going offshore under gas supply contracts entered into by the big three LNG producers. So that leaves a surplus, a small amount, that generally we have had to purchase back from, you know, basically international spot markets.
This means that the gas needed to fill the shortfall has to be purchased at international rates. The government can pull the trigger on a never-before-used provision to slow exports and shore up domestic supply. But it's hesitant to do so as it could jeopardise Australia's reputation as a reliable exporter, and the regulation wouldn't take effect until next year. Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles has told the Nine Network there are also other factors at play.
You know, what we've got now is really the product of 9 years of failure on the part of the former government in terms of having consistent energy policy, and it's why we don't have renewables online in the way that we should.
But Federal Opposition Leader Peter Dutton also told Channel 9 that's a complete rewrite of history.
So I think the public's going to get sick of this line coming out of the government that, you know, the last government's to blame for everything. This government went to the election saying that they had the answers, and clearly they don't.
Electricity prices are likely to remain high for at least 2 years. The default price, set by the regulator, is increasing from July the 1st. Sandra Goldie is the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Council of Social Service and says the dramatic rise in energy costs is adding to the price of living crisis.
For some people on the very low incomes, this will be the one that tips them over the edge when it comes to affordability. This is the combination of increases in energy prices, rents and food. Those are the essentials of life for people on low and modest incomes. We need governments to act and to act fast now.
For those low-income earners, there could be some relief. The government is asking the Fair Work Commission to consider an increase in line with inflation, which is at 5.1%. The Federal Minister for Employment, Tony Burke, says the government recommends the real wages of Australia's low-paid workers stay on track.
The government doesn't want anyone to go backwards, but this is at its most acute for low-wage earners. They're the people most affected by the cost of living crisis. They're also the people with the least capacity to have any assets at all or savings to be able to draw down on.
Hannah Kwon, SBS News.